I'm going to pray one more time just for help because I can't do nothing on my own. Jesus, just help me. Jesus, just let this be all about you, Jesus. Jesus, fill this place, God. Fill this place with you, God. Fill this place with you, God. I don't want to give people me because that is nothing. I want to give people you. God, let your presence be in this place, God. Let Holy Spirit just be walking and touching each, just down each and every person, God. Touch each and every person here today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God has really been laying on my heart grace. He's been talking about grace because in the church, a lot of us have misused the word grace. We've developed a grace that's a license to sin instead of a license to look like Him. See, grace is not so I can sin and get away with it and ask Jesus for forgiveness after I sin. It's not grace. It's not grace. Grace is the transforming power of God, the supernatural empowerment of God. His supernatural, His hand coming down and touching you and transforming you from sin to look more like Him. Man, we have to, in the church, hate sin. I'm not talking about hate people, hate sin for our own self. We have to hate sin. Like where I walk and the temptation to sin enters, and the Holy Spirit trembles me when the temptation to sin comes up. Where I'm trembled at the fact of sinning. At the fact of doing anything that is not Him. I want to walk so close to God so when the temptation to sin rises and the enemy offers something, I'm trembling at fear of the Lord. I want to walk in relationship with that, and that's what we're called to in Christ. We're called to walk so close to Him that when sin arises, it's so the opposite of who we are, we can't even face it. We can't even look at it. We don't want to partake it. That doesn't mean we're afraid to love people who sin, but that means we don't want to sin ourselves. We don't want to partake in it. And that is what I'm trying to get to. I really want to lay a foundation of grace, because if you know what grace is, your life will be transformed. If you get a clear revelation of grace, you will be transformed. I'm not here to fill you full of knowledge and head knowledge. I want to see transformation. You know, that's the problem. We got too big of heads and too small of hearts. There needs to be a flip. There needs to be a flip. We can know all about this book. There's people that knows all about this book but doesn't know Him. And grace, see, salvation, in grace we preach a salvation that's free. And it is. It's free. There's nothing we do to earn it. But discipleship costs you everything. Salvation is free, but discipleship, following Him, costs you everything. It's giving yourself completely to Him, wholeheartedly to Him. Disciple means a wholehearted follower after Christ. Wholehearted. That mean, and when you're walking in that place, sin, you don't want to partake in it. And I just want to lay a foundation of grace. And if I lay the foundation of grace, I know it can transform you. So just open your hearts to receive what grace is. Grace doesn't teach you that you can do this and that. It doesn't give you a license to sin. We're supposed to hate sin and love righteousness. The Beatitudes, it says, those who thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. The attitudes of being. If you thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. That means I thirst to be like Him. See, here's what grace is. Okay, I'm going to go back. Genesis 1:26. God made the earth. He made the heavens and the earth. He made everything on the earth. And then He come to man. And He said, let us make man in our image. In the image of God, He created man. So God created man in His image. So you look like God. Adam, Eve, look like God. They walked with the fullness of God. They walked with God. They walked with Him with Him, filled with Him, looking like Him in the garden. And there was there wasn't even a comprehension for sin. They didn't know sin because they knew God. They was like God. They was made in His image. The image just isn't physical. It's not even physical. The image of God is spiritual. God is love. Man was made to be love. God is holy. Man was holy. God was pure. Man was pure. Man didn't even know sin. And that's what fall was. The fall of man, when Adam ate the fruit, he fell from being like God. He fell from being like God. And sin entered the world. Man, all he knew was God. And he instantly became God-conscious to self-conscious. Sin-conscious. Sin awareness. Never separation from God. So Jesus. So God had to make a way to redeem. To redeem. So through all the Old Testament, that's where the law came in. The law, this whole book, the do's and don'ts of the Bible, the law, it tells you, do not do this. It's just the standard of who God is. Well, there's 600 and so many commandments, I know that. How much? There's 613 commandments you have to live by to be like God. To be like Him, there's 613 that God laid out. He gave the law through Moses to reveal this is who God is. These 613 commandments. And man never could live up. Try to do right, fail. Try to do right, fail. Try to do right and fail. Try not to sin. Moses, David, all these people tried their best to not sin, but they always failed. And see, so many Christians are still living under law. Trying their best not to sin. Trying their best not just to do the best they can to get by. But sin always, they always fall. They always fall. Fall of man because separation. We're born into the seed of Adam. We're born from his sin. From generation to generation to generation, we're born into. That's why when you're born, you don't have to teach somebody to fear. It's just natural. You don't have to teach somebody to do wrong. It's just your nature, who you are. You don't have to teach a kid at 2 years old, you see them, they're fighting over a toy. You know, it's just selfishness is just your nature as you're born into the seed of Adam. But Christ came and said, you must be born again. You was born into the seed of Adam, but Christ said, you must be born again. Born again. You was born into sin. So grace is not a license to sin. Grace, now, see the law, 613 commandments, came to reveal what you could never be. You tried your best to live up to God, but you could never be it. You could never be it because sin was in the equation. You was naturally a sinful person. Then Jesus came. This to give you a clear. John 1. If you all have your Bibles, we'll turn to John 1. This isn't where I plan on going, but I just want to, Holy Spirit, tell me I need to read this. John 1. Verse 16. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. This is talking about Jesus. For the law was given through Moses, the commandments, the standard to live by, was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the law, the commandments was given through Moses, what the standard you were supposed to live and be like, through Moses, but Jesus came to give you grace and empowerment to fulfill and walk out that law. Moses brought law, condemnation, what you could never be. Jesus brought grace so you could now walk it out. Am I making sense, guys? Is it clear? I just want to really lay this for you because it can transform you. If you just, it says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you just get understanding, this can be your reality. You can walk in it. No more striving not to sin. No more fighting off the urge of sin. The more you're in Him. See, I'm not saying Jesus came to do away with sin. It's the great exchange, the cross, the great exchange. He became death so you could live. The great exchange. He became sin so you could become righteous. He was separated from God so you could be forever joined to God. The great exchange, man. It's good. His love, His mercy. He come to remove sin from you so he could get his spirit back in you, and the fall is reversed. He said, I come to save that which was lost, not those who were lost. What was lost? The image of God. The image of God that you was created and destined and purposed to walk and live in life. His spirit, his grace, his spirit is his grace. He empowers you to live and walk a holy life. I'm going to read, if you want to turn with me, back to Romans 8, where we was originally intended to go. This is transforming. If you just allow it to, what he paid, what he went through so he could get you back to who you really was. See, the cross doesn't just reveal how bad of a sinner you was. It reveals your true identity as a son. The cross reveals, yes, he came to save you from sin, but he came to make you a son again. Romans 6, actually. Grace isn't the license to sin. Grace is transforming. It's when you do sin. If you sin, 1 John says. If you sin. I'm not saying you will never sin now that he came. I'm saying if you slip up in sin, then you run to Jesus and say, God, I need your grace. Transform me so that doesn't happen again. And then you're constantly growing into the fullness of Christ. Constantly growing to where your life, the more you spend time with him, the more you go to him, the more intimate you are with him in the secret place, the more you grow into the fullness of who Jesus is. See, Jesus didn't just... He was the revelation of what you was intended to walk as before sin came. Jesus walked his life. He said, follow me. That doesn't just mean read your Bible, go to church on Sunday. That means live like I lived. That means be possessed with the same heart, with the same mind, with the same spirit that I am. Jesus, he revealed our true identity. Your true identity is in Christ. Your true identity is him. He's not just showing something, well, how this is Jesus and he's our God, he's everything, he's our Savior, but he's saying, come hither. He always calls you with him. If you read it, you cannot find any scripture that Jesus spoke that he said, he always calls you with him to be like him. Greater things you will do. As the Father send me, I send you. He always calls you to walk like him. And I'm after that. We should be after that as a church. That's your purpose, to be filled with the image of God, behold his glory, and walk in it. To a broken world. To a broken world around you. To your workplace. To wherever you're at, you're shining a light. You're looking like him. So I'm not expecting people to serve me. I'm not expecting people to treat me good. Jesus said, I come to serve, not to be served. We should come to serve and to love and make ourselves lower and reveal what Christ looks like. As a church, me and April went to Walmart a couple nights ago because we just really been on our heart to see the city transform. We want to see people change. We want to see people God touch and invade the streets. But, you know, the church is where you get empowered to do that. The church is where you come, you get built up, you get strengthened, empowered, taught to step out the doors and then walk like him. So we went to Walmart and it's really uncomfortable. But Holy Spirit, if you don't get in uncomfortable situations, Holy Spirit can never be your comforter. You have to be uncomfortable to rely on Holy Spirit to be your comforter. So we went to Walmart and we just went, we prayed, we said, you know what, we're going to go, Jesus, and let you use us. And we've been trying to walk in this in our day-to-day life in my workplace, but I really wanted to just go out and just try to walk like Christ. So we went to Walmart and we prayed. We went around, we see people sick, we prayed for them. We seen people needed it, we prayed for them. And then we walked up to this guy at Walmart, he was a worker. And this is the one that really touched me the most, because people need Jesus and you don't realize, man. They want Jesus. They don't even know it, they want Jesus. If you reveal him, the world wants something real. They don't want religion. They don't want, I'm better than you. Did Jesus ever display that? Did he ever reveal that? He was with the sinners. Who did he correct more than anybody? the church, the Pharisees. So we need to learn from him. And we ran into this guy from Walmart, and he was working, and April walked up to him and said, "Hey, buddy, how are you?" And I walked up with her and said, "Hey, man, do you have any pain in your body?" I was just asking if he had any pain that we could pray for, any sickness, anything going on, because he's a worker. I figured he'd been lifting or something like that. And I said, "Do you have any pain?" And before I could finish, "In your body," he said, "Yeah, man." He said, "Man, me and my wife," he said, "we're going through this awful time right now, man." And he just blurted out, like he needed, if you go out, you won't realize how much of Jesus you really carry until you step out. People would just randomly tell you stuff, intimate stuff, because they're looking for help. And he said, "Yeah, man," he said, "me and my wife," he said, we're struggling, we're having a hard time, we've been fighting all day." And I just was thinking pain in the body. He just comes out with pain in his heart. And it kind of took me off guard. I was like, "Man," I was like, "I hate to hear that." I was like, "You know, Jesus is for marriage. God is for marriage. And he is absolutely for your marriage. And he can restore your marriage and bring hope to your marriage and love to your marriage and bring unity. He is for marriage. Yes, they may not be in Christ, but he's still for marriage. He's still for marriage." And we sowed seeds. We prayed for him. We was telling him how God loves him and prayed for peace and unity. And God wants to get out, but he just needs hands and feet. He just needs hands and feet. And when you realize your true identity, you can walk in this. And this is the grace to transform you so you can walk holy and like him, so you can be like God. That sounds like blasphemy, but I'm not saying like God is here, but we can walk in his fullness on earth. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That means Christ in us, the hope of being made known. God, the hope of being made known in our life, in everyday life, in everyday actions. We prayed for people. We prayed for a guy in a wheelchair. He said his feet was tingling. And I mean, God is real, guys. I know it sounds crazy, but he's real. If you step out of your comfort zone and be the church, and be the church. And I'm not condemning you. If you've been living and taking advantage of grace, see, living grace, taking advantage of grace, you know, I'm going to do this and then I'll ask God to forgive me and I'll get my name written in a book. I'm afraid you guys are going to be deceived, because that is not what the gospel is about. Heaven is just the starting point. He came to get you to heaven, but he came to get heaven in you. He came to transform you. He came to give you his life so you can walk in it. The goal is not heaven. Heaven is just a secure, we're going there. But I don't want to get to heaven and meet a God I don't know, because I've not spent any time with him. I want to know him. When I get to heaven, I want to be like, "Sir, I've longed to see you so long. I've longed to be with you so long." This time on earth, that's eternity compared to it never ends. That's eternity. It's probably even smaller than that. I mean, I'm just giving you an example. If you can think of eternity, and that right there determines eternity. That one life you live determines your eternity, determines how you're going to live forever. Over. And it seems like forever right now, but over. Even if you live to be 110 years old, over. Okay, I'm in Romans 6, right? Got caught off on a tangent there. Romans 6, verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it?" So right there just destroys the mindset that I can sin and get away with it because Jesus died for me. That is making a mockery of the cross. Why sell your identity out so cheap when you was bought for such a high price? Why give yourself so cheap to something that you was paid for so much? Your value is determined by, value in the world is determined by how much you pay for it. Well, you was paid for an ultimate price on the cross. Man, you know, we let life get to us, circumstances, trials, adversities. If you're on fire for Jesus, nothing changes when you go through a fire. If you put fire in fire, nothing changes. and we say, I hear the language in the church that, you know, that, well, you're just a new Christian. You're just a new Christian. You're not going to be on fire forever. What is that anywhere scriptural? It's not scriptural. I'm burning. I'm still living. I'm in my first love. I'm still living. I'm burning for Him. You see why I'm so passionate? Because I know a man who thinks I'm to die for. He thinks I'm to die for. And if you realize that and believe it, it will change you. When He carried His cross, He thought of me. When He carried His cross, He pictured me being free from sin. Seeing me, sin off of me, and seeing His life in me. He so wanted, He made the first move. People said, I found God. No, I don't. God found you. God found you. Even if you say, make a conscious choice in your mind to say, I'm going to go to God. That was originated from God. God found you. He made the first move. He's the aggressor. He's the masculine one. You're His bride. That's what's wrong with me. As he was carrying His cross, He thought of me. As He was carrying His cross, it says in Isaiah, God said, it says that God, it pleased God to bruise His Son. It pleased Him. Why? Because you was who he would get, one son for many sons. It pleased God to bruise His Son. You was created to walk in Him. All the gospel asks you to give up is your life, which you was never supposed to own it anyways. You was never created to own your life yourself anyways. You was created to be His and walk in dominion, walk in authority, walk in love as He is love. 1 Corinthians 13, we read the love chapter, and it talks, God is love, love is kind, love is patient. This isn't just revealing God, this is revealing who you get to be with God flowing through you. The love chapter reveals your nature, your identity. This word is alive, guys. Anything you read in here, God honors His word. If it says, be holy for I am holy, He will give you full empowerment if you seek Him to be holy, to walk a righteous life, to walk a life worthy of Him. If it says, how do you think the apostles gave their life up for this gospel? How do you think they gave it up? They fell in love with Jesus. They fell in love. They believed this word. They didn't listen to anything else. Yeah, but, no. Yeah, but, or devils. Yeah, but, or devils. Take the word, read it, you'll say, I mean, you hear so much language, you'll be seeking after God, and then you'll hear, yeah, but you can't be that on fire. Or, yeah, but you got to use wisdom. Yeah, but, I mean, this stuff right here hinders you, and then you fall back into complacency. Fire. The gospel, the apostles, they was all about Jesus. We see it. He's our Lord. He died for us. We see His love. We receive His love. See, it says the two greatest commandments, the law I was talking about, is fulfilled in this. Jesus said, love God with all your might, your strength, your soul. Love God, and then love others likewise. Love others as yourself. And if you love God with all your might and strength, the others is going to be easy. It's just a byproduct. It's just a byproduct. You was created to walk in love. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, dwells in you. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I send you. That's not just talking about signs and miracles. I mean, yes, that can happen too, but He's talking about love. Lay down your life. Matthew 16:24 says, if any man wish to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What does that mean? That doesn't mean don't go to the movies. Don't watch that bad show on TV. You don't want to do that either. But that's not, deny yourself means I'm dying to all that I was born to, sin. I'm dying to all that I was, and I'm living in Him. And I'm taxiing through life, through every adversity, through every trial, through every injustice, through every wrongdoing, like Christ did, following Him. I'm not going to hope. If you got a problem with people, the problem is with you. It's not the person. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, it's not the person's fault. It's your fault. Jesus never gave okay to hold that. Even if they was completely in the wrong, you're the issue. If you're holding it as a Christian, I'm not being mean. I'm just being real. Christ calls us to so much more than we was taught and trained. Even in godly homes, the world tries to teach you. The world teaches you your whole life. And Jesus came so you could be born again. There's a new way. There's a real way. This is the way. He said, watch me. And he lived. He went around doing good, destroying the works of the devil, through love and through power. And this is the way you was really created to be. See, Jesus, God said, let us make man in our image. When he made Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Multiply his image. Imagine if sin never happened. Two who was completely holy and righteous came together. And one was born, not into sin, but born into holiness. Jesus came to save that which was lost, restore all things so we can walk in it. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That means when he died, I died. That means when he died, I died with him. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So we died with him to sin, raised with him to newness of life. So all that he is, okay, this is good. When you ride a wheel, a living wheel out, say your parents ride a living wheel out, everything they own, they give to you. When does that wheel go into effect? When they die. Everything Jesus walked in, when he died, we inherited. We inherited. Living wheel. He came and walked in the fullness of God, and when he died, it was passed to you. We are an inheritance of the saints. It was passed to you to walk in it. And he wants you to know this truth. He wants you to walk in this truth. He wants to flow through you. I just want to lead Christians to Christ. I want to see Christians really walk in this. And I'm walking. I'm not bragging. I'm trying to attain it. I'm going after it. It says working out your salvation. That means you're day by day you're going after him. You're seeking him. Salvation literally means sozo. It doesn't mean just go to heaven. Salvation means saved, healed, delivered, made whole. When Christ died, he took all that you was, sin, separation from the Father, took it on him on the cross, perfect love, so you could be like he was, in unity with the Father, walking with the Father, in image with the Father, oneness with the Father. And how do we attain that? Grace. It says you are saved by grace. You are saved by grace. Grace, the empowerment of God, the etching tool of God. Grace, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it is the empowerment of God. So when I go in the secret place and say, I got angry at a coworker, or I got mad at this, and I go into the secret place and say, Father, I see that that's not your heart. That's not your heart, and I don't want that in me. God, form me. And I know that I was never created to walk that way. I've been born again, and faith opens the door for grace. You just got to believe that you're called to that. You're called to that, and you receive it. And you say to me, look, you know, I just struggle with sin. I have a problem with sin. You know, God knows your heart. It says, a pure in heart shall see God. So if your heart is pure and you sincerely want change, God will honor that and give you the empowerment, but you have to sincerely want it and go for it. You have to see the love of the Father. It says, the goodness of God leads men to repentance. If you see his love for you, if you see who he is, see, wow, look what you did for me. I wasn't deserving of it, but you thought I was. If you want what you deserve, then you would go to hell. Go to hell. You know, you don't. He thought you. So quit living with the mindset of I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. That's saying Jesus was wrong. That's calling God a liar. We call that humbleness, but that's false humility. Humbleness is receiving, saying, thank you, God. Wow. Wow, I receive that. And I receive the grace for you to transform me so I can walk like you. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. knowing and believing that, wow, Jesus, this is all access. The truth of this word is all access through relationship, intimacy, secret time. You can't read this and go out and try to be it. That's the law. That's the Old Testament. You read it and just try your best to do it. It's through God's grace, through intimacy, secret time, spending time with Him and saying, God, thank you that your spirit, no man is self-made. You can't make yourself, no matter how hard you will always fail. But with God's life and His empowerment, He will transform you to live. This is grace. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Free. Free. Free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. So if we died with Him on the cross, old man, that means we get to live with Him, walk with Him. Even though you don't see Him, He is real. 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. So if death no longer has dominion over Him, does death have dominion over you? You're never going to die. You may die once, but you're never going to die. So why fear? If I'm never going to die, why fear? You got to have an eternal perspective. You got to think from an eternal perspective because it is true. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin. So it's no longer, I'm not condemning you if you have been living this way. I'm just showing you the truth. So now you can say, wow. And you can see the love of the Father from sending His Son. And you don't want sin no more. If you receive Him, you don't want it. There's nothing pleasurable anymore. You just don't want it. People use it's another in the church I've heard, and it's not true. People use, Jesus said, those who have been forgiven much love much, and that is true. But you have to realize you have all been forgiven much. Just as much as a lie, just as much as adultery, addiction. You all have been forgiven the same. If you break one law, James says, if you've transgressed one of these laws, you've transgressed them all. You have to realize, wow, I was bad. I don't care how good you are. That is the ultimate form. When you think you've not been saved much, self-righteousness. I don't care how good of a person you are. You're just as bad as anybody else apart from the blood of Jesus. And you really want to start walking, you have to see how much He saved you from. That's how you fall in love. If you never have a revelation, clear revelation of how much He saved you from, then you never really clearly know how great His love is. That's why you see people that's been saved a lot that's on fire, because they have a revelation of it. They know how much they've been saved from. They see it. Wow, we all have been saved much. I pray that in the secret place, God, don't ever let me forget how much you brought me from. What you died, what it took. It says that He was marred above more than any man. He was beat more than any man. In Isaiah, it says He was marred more than any man to ever be marred. What did He have to become? It said He was unrecognizable. He had to become what you was to God when sin was on you. Unrecognizable. You was unrecognizable to God before sin, when sin was on you. So He had to become what you was so you could become like Him and be back with God so He could remove sin from you. So we should never take advantage of grace. Never take advantage of grace. It is just putting Jesus' face in the mud and saying, this is my King. Man, that's some heavy stuff. What put Him on the cross, what nailed Him to the cross was your sin. But He took it. It pleased Him. As they nailed Him, He said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. If they knew who they really was, if they seen me for who I really was, they would never do that. They're so deceived by sin and by lies, they would never do that. Forgive them, Father. That's perfect love. I want to be in a place where somebody treats me like that and I say, forgive them, God. They don't understand. If you're having a problem with somebody, just always use this. If they was filled with the Spirit of God and knew who they was, would they treat you that way? No. So we should hurt for them instead of because of them. We should hurt for their mistake against us instead of because of them. He became sin who knew no sin. He was perfectly. He come and filled the law. That law, he filled it out perfectly. Never missed one thing. But he became all the law that we broke. He became the sin who knew no sin. He didn't even know it, but he took it upon you. That's like me doing the most awfulest thing you could ever think of. The most awfulest sin in your mind that you could ever think of. And somebody else paying it for me. It just wrecks me, guys, his love. And you see why I'm passionate. This is the way we're all called to be. Realize his love. I'm just holding it together for you guys up here. But when I get alone, it's a different story. When I get alone with Jesus, I just have to keep my cool for you guys so I can teach. But he is good. So many Christians hurt by the church, hurt by this, and if we knew who he was, that would never happen because we wouldn't hold account of wrong. We would be love if we knew how we could walk. But all I want to say is grace transforms you. Grace is not the license to sin, but it's getting in the secret place and realizing, wow, he paid all this price for me, so now I can walk like him. And when I do sin, if I sin, when I maybe slip up and make a mistake, not trying to, not taking advantage, but slip up, his grace comes and you say, Father, forgive me. I want to look like you. I don't want that. Because when you slip up, Holy Spirit will reveal it. If you have a relationship with him, he will reveal it. So don't, you're not going around pointing out, trying to find stuff wrong with you. But Holy Spirit, let him leave the revealing. And if you do something wrong, run to him and say, God, I see that. It's so what you died for. And I don't want that anymore. And you separate yourself and say, I thank you that that was crushed on the cross. I thank you that that has no power over me. I don't care how big of a sin it is. It has no power over me. Through the blood of Jesus, it is over. And I give myself to you. And he forms you. And you can walk in this. The greatest privilege on earth is getting to know him. The greatest privilege is not trying to learn all the Bible you can. It's getting to know him. This is how you know him. But you have to read with the mindset of, I heard a guy say it once, this is the face of God. When you look into this and read this, you're looking into the face of God. And no man shall look into the face of God and live. So if you're looking in the face of God, it's going to reveal who you really are. Who you really are. And it's going to expose the sin that you're not created to be. And in reading this, it purifies you. You say, wow, I see that I've been walking in that, God, and that's not you because you said it. So God, make me this. And he transforms you. You know, as pastors, as evangelists, as apostles, it's not a ranking system to who's better. It's a leadership to empower you to walk in the same. If Joe's up here empowering you because he wants to see you walk like Christ in your day-to-day life. God is moving away from the man of God thing to the children of God. He wants to reproduce it. We're always, through the Bible, the one that made the man of God. This is for all man. This is for all man to walk like him. And you come to church to get empowered and filled to look more like Christ. So when you walk in a place, the enemy says, oh no, there's Jesus. Oh no, there's Jesus. He's empowering you to walk like him. The same feet that treaded hell 2,000 years ago is treading hell today. Because he lives in me. If you take this, it can transform you. You see Jesus, and that's what you're created for. That's what you was always intended to look like before sin came and separated you from that. But Jesus paid everything to get you back to that. To get you back to that. By his grace, we have been saved through faith. So believing in him and believing that he did were saved. And you're working out your salvation. You're working out until you see the fullness of Christ in you, until we are eternal. But you spend time with Him, you see these things, and you see they're not who you are, and you seek Him for more. I want to close with this one story, Joe, if you want to play something, if you don't mind. If you all want to stand, I just want you all to know the love of Christ. Because if you really know, it says to know the love of Christ is to be filled with the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ. I'm not just talking, well, yes, Jesus loves me, He had to pay. No, to know Him, to believe it, to receive it, and wake up every morning knowing that you're loved is to be filled with the fullness of God. You want to be filled with the fullness of God, you have to receive His love for you. You have to look at the cross and see what He paid. You're not worthless. You are valuable to Him. The blood speaks. If you was worthless, He didn't just do it just because God, it's His obligation. No, you was valuable to Him, God. I don't care what you look like, how you, where you come from, what you've done, you're valuable to Him. You mean everything to Him. And He paid it all to get you back. As Joel plays softly, I want to close. If we would just close our eyes, I want to end with this story. He was an atheist. Didn't believe in God. Had no belief in God. But people started talking to him about God. So he started getting curious. Started studying into it and wondering if God is real. This is a true story. So, after studying, he's just like, I don't know, God. I can't figure out that you're not real, but it's just so hard for me to believe. It's just so hard for me to believe. So he went to bed that night, and God gave him a dream. And in this dream, there was this big field, wide open field, and he was standing in it. In this field, there was a fence right down the middle of the field. On one side of the fence, he seen Jesus and all these people following him. On the other side of the fence, he seen the enemy, the devil, Satan, with a lot more following him. Jesus on one side, Satan on the other. He said, what do I do? What do I do? So he jumped on the fence. He jumped on the fence. Instantly, Jesus and all his people disappeared. Instantly, the devil and all his people disappeared. And he's on the fence and he's like, okay, this is good. Then the devil reappeared and said, I own the fence. There is no middle ground. You're either for me or against me. I'm either all in or all out. There is no good-hearted, you're all in or all out. If you choose not to go with Christ, you choose to go with the devil. I'm going to pray. And the altars are open to anybody. As Joel does worship, the altars are open to anybody. I'll pray with you. Jesus loves you. I'm just going to pray for you guys. Father, we just thank you, God, that you love us, God. God, that your love is real. That your love is tangible. God, that you died and paid the ultimate price for us, Jesus. That we're valuable to you, God. I just pray you impart this grace to each and every person in here, Father. That you would let them know their worth so they could be transformed and live and walk worthy of the calling that they was called to walk. Worthy, where they wake up each and every morning and stomp hell for a living. They wake up each and every morning knowing that they're filled with you and they live in victory. Thank you, Father. I just bless each and every person, God, that you would just fill them with you. In Jesus' name. These altars are open, guys. Anybody who wants prayer, you can come up to me if you need prayer. I will pray with you personally.